This is Ramsey Radio, the farming and farm machinery podcast from Ramsey Brothers, partnering farmers since 1950.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ramsey Radio. I'm your host, Tim Glover, and today's episode is all about the future of farming, and especially family farming in South Australia. My guest is Balaclava High School ag teacher Sue Pratt, who also just happens to be the Ag Teacher Association of South Australia's 2021 award winner for excellence. Very prestigious title. Sue, congratulations firstly, and more importantly, welcome to Ramsey Radio.
Thank you, Tim. It's nice to join you today.
I am very excited to have you on today because we all like to, pardon the pun, blow our own horns a little bit, and I'd like to think my ag credentials are pretty good. But in terms of where you're at, your credentials are about as good as they get.
Well, that's a big wrap up. But yeah, farming definitely is in my DNA, and certainly all of my families as well. My family are farmers at Pinery. My brother is on the farm there, and my dad still works there. He's nearly 92 and still driving the header. And I married a farmer from Blyth. And every member of our generation of both of our families are farmers. We've got a few ag communicators in there, some plant breeders, some ag engineers as well. So we've extended a little bit out of just straight farming, but it's definitely in the veins. And I think probably one of the things that we've all carried with us is the desire to improve all the time. None of us are ever content with what we're doing in the agricultural field or whatever field of work we're in. And probably with inspiration from my mum and dad, we're all pretty keen to keep moving forward and improving what we're doing.
You know, I think that's it's important, Sue. You touched on a few of the different paths and career paths there that just in your family that you've seen. One of the things that comes through loud and clear is that you've obviously got a lot of passion for South Australian farming, and obviously talking to the Ag Teacher of the Year, I said it's exciting, and I'm excited. But in your opinion, why do you think it's important to offer South Australian high school kids an ag curriculum?
Well, I guess we all eat, and lots of our kids don't have any connection to food production anymore. Even in a regional school like ours, probably only a quarter of our students are directly involved in primary production, probably more than that with agribusinesses and things in our little local communities. But people are quite disconnected with where their food comes from these days, and I think it's just so incredibly important for people to get some factual information and take the emotion out of the story and actually learn where their food comes from so that they're making educated choices as consumers. And we need to extend the skills of our kids who are going to be ending up on farms, but I think it's really important for that to extend to all students in schools.
In the modern world, it's quite a scary thought that given technology and the access, the actual knowledge base of where their food that sits on their plate or in their wrapper comes from is probably lowest it's been ever.
Oh, definitely. And even just things like having a veggie patch at home is certainly not common, perhaps picked up a little bit during the recent pandemic. But the number of students who've never seen a broccoli plant, for instance, or chickens laying eggs, it's really quite alarming at how disconnected they are. So the more information we can give them and that hands-on experience with if you've got some ag facilities at your school, it's absolutely invaluable.
Yeah, and I guess that leads us on to the obvious question that what sort of things do you teach?
Yeah, I guess remembering that only a fairly small percentage of our kids are on farms and are going to return to farming, I don't see an ag teacher's role as developing strong competency in the practical skills. I think there are other organisations who are really well geared for doing that. You know, companies like RST that offer that on-farm training. So I see our role more about creating positive attitudes to primary production and teaching our kids to be problem solvers and thinking about the big picture stuff of feeding the world and climate change and all of those issues that are in front of us and how agriculture can contribute to solving those problems. That idea of opening their eyes to what agriculture can mean and therefore the incredible diversity of roles
the
that
industry
they can move
itself
into
is not
that
going
are
to go
agri
away.
Related. I think that's a pretty important part of what we do.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess that in itself would definitely keep you on your toes because it's an industry that continues to evolve. So as the Ag Teacher of the Year, and I'm going to keep plugging that away because it's well deserved, as the Ag Teacher of the Year, how do you keep on top of the changes that we're continually seeing as the industry changes and evolves?
I think it's just really important to keep in touch with people who are actually practicing what we are preaching. So, you know, keeping in touch with what actual farmers are doing in the district. And I'm very lucky here at Balaclava. I've got a fantastic network of of farmers that are mates of mine that I can call on when I need some expertise in pigs or chooks or cattle, sheep, cropping, whatever. I've got plenty of people on speed dial that I need to ring. And keeping up with industry training, going to different events in the district and in the state to try and keep on top of things. Keeping links with the university is really important, so we keep on in touch with what's happening at that end of town. And it's a never-ending job, really. I mean, textbooks haven't been a thing in agriculture for years because they're just out of date so quickly. So we tend to try and stay up to date with the latest publications via the internet, so we're getting the latest stuff. There are some fantastic programs that are looking at agri-tech, for instance, that we try and tap into. And the Ag Teachers Association network is very important in us sharing the latest ideas. And we've got a pretty active Facebook group that if somebody comes across something interesting, they'll share it straight away. And we rely on each other to keep us up to date. But I think that link with practitioners is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Sue, we're going to delve deeper into this area of ag, and where I want to move to after a break is to regional careers. So hopefully we won't get too controversial, but I know it's a topic that affects the entire sector and we both have strong feelings about it. First though, we need to take a quick break. I'll be back with Ag Teacher of the Year Sue Pratt and more Ramsey Radio in just a minute.
Farmall. Since 1923, the most iconic and admired name in the farming world. If you're in the market for a utility tractor, there has never been a better time to turn to Case IH and Farmall. With models ranging from 25 horsepower through to 115, Case IH has a model to fit your need. Call Ramsey Brothers now to uncover the sensational value on our drive-away Farmall deals. With tailored finance packages to approved applicants and great deals on front-end loaders, your time is now. But be quick as stock is limited. Ramsey Brothers, partnering farmers since 1950.
Welcome back to Ramsey Radio. We're chatting with South Australian ag teacher Sue Pratt about the skills and knowledge training that will ensure the ag industry's future. Sue, I was intrigued to learn that we have a big problem in common, and that's finding people to do these essential jobs. For us in the machinery sector, it's highly skilled technicians, but you struggle to find ag teachers too. Talk us through that.
Yeah, we have a really acute shortage, which is leading into a chronic shortage of ag teachers in the state. For instance, we've only had one graduate this year, so a new person coming into ag teaching, and we know we've got a cohort that are sort of working towards retiring, so we're very concerned about it. It's not just a South Australian problem, though it is definitely a national problem, and the National Ag Educators Group are looking to address it as well, but it's not a problem that's easily solved because we have some competition with some pretty interesting careers. And yeah, it's one that the Ag Teachers Association in South Australia is actively trying to address.
Is that, I'll ask the obvious question, is that something that is specific to the ag curriculum, or is there a shortage of teachers, coming into the system overall?
Yeah, I think in some areas there certainly are some shortages. I think you could never have enough science and mathematics, those sort of STEM area teachers. But agriculture is pretty unique in that most of our jobs are regional, and quite a few of our current ag teachers are not actually ag trained. I actually don't have an ag training, so don't perhaps tell everybody that. But lots of us have come into it from other fields. So I'm a science teacher, but have a lot of industry experience. But you know, sometimes it's home economics teachers, it's environmental teachers that are coming into the field, and it's pretty difficult to find them. But last year we had, I think, five or six schools that could not find anybody to fill positions that they had. And I think on the books at the moment, we've got seven schools looking for ag teachers for 2022.
That in itself has got to be a real concern. It's almost like we have to make ag sexy again to the non-ag people, which is, you alluded to it at the start. I'm not worried about your formal qualifications. Clearly your knowledge base and your practical experience and your passion are the things that we need to get through to these future generations coming through. So, I hate to say that, for the people that are outside of the ag industry, ag is sexy.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's one of the challenges we've got is that agriculture is threaded throughout the Australian curriculum. So schools should be delivering it from reception right through to year 12. But in South Australia, there are only about 60 schools that have actual dedicated ag programs. So with the ones that we know are actively teaching agricultural content, we don't know exactly what happens in all of the other schools. And even though they're supposed to teach food and fibre content, are they? How are they being checked up on? And I think for a lot of teachers, it's really about confidence. if they're not coming from an ag background or haven't got somebody in their school that can support them in that, it can be pretty daunting to start talking to kids about cropping and livestock management and that sort of thing if they don't have any experience of it. So getting the message, as you said, into schools and giving teachers the confidence and the skill set to do that is really crucial. There are some fantastic programs trying to solve that. There's currently one called Educating Kids About Ag that's targeted for primary schools, but that's only reaching a small section of schools. It's not in every primary school in the state by any means, and it really comes down to funding to support that. There are wonderful resources available. It's not really about needing to have more resources. Their industry is really producing that already. It's about giving teachers the skill set they need to be able to put those resources into play in a school in a meaningful way, in a way that's actually reflecting what is going on in industry.
And also, I guess, allowing them to have the confidence to deliver that that material that's available.
Yeah, absolutely. We would really like to see a lot more support for teachers. Our Ag Teachers Association is all volunteer based and we're pretty active and we look after each other really well, but we're only reaching those teachers in schools that have ag programs, and we would love to be able to extend that support to schools outside of that particular network so that we can help them to deliver food and fibre content as well. We've got some ideas on how we'd like to do that, and we're sort of looking to industry to help fund some of that for us because, we've got a very limited budget because we are all volunteers. And we are a relatively small cohort compared to some of the other faculty areas like maths and science.
Yeah, well, there we go. So for our listeners, we might have to rattle the can at a stage, because reality is this involves all of us. So I'll throw it out there, Sue, if we can help in any way through Ramsey Radio, let me know, and more than happy to do what we can.
I will take you up on that, Tim, don't you worry.
Absolutely. As I said, we've all got an investment in this industry, so we need to make sure, we need to make sure that we've got our next generation of technicians coming through. Mm. We need to make sure that we've got our next generation of sales advisors coming through, precision ag technicians. But as I said, we need to make sure we look after the industry, because if it doesn't continue as it needs to, we're all in trouble. Is the way that I see it.
Yeah, for sure. There's been a couple of events over the last few years that have really started to get some traction that I think are really important in that particular drive. And one is the Urbray Ag Careers Expo. So they've had it now twice. It was not able to run last year, of course. And that's just really fantastic initiative that Urbray have taken on. And they've had hundreds of kids coming and talking to all sorts of agribusinesses. And we know that for a lot of kids, their career choices are very heavily influenced by what their parents think. And as you said, not everybody knows about agriculture and what it can offer. So events like the Ag Careers Expo are really important in opening up parents' eyes as much as the kids to what the possibilities are for them so that they can seriously consider an ag pathway. So I think that particular event is really important, and it's just a fantastic event. I've taken students to it each time, and even though my kids, I think, are fairly well exposed to the possibilities, their eyes were definitely opened by that event. And the other really important event is the Growing the Futures Dinner, which the Adelaide Uni Ag Students Association put on. And that's a really fantastic event that showcases a lot of different careers. And I'd certainly like to see education as one that gets a little bit higher profile, because at the moment we're really competing with some very interesting careers. And a few years ago, when kids got to the end of their Bachelor of Ag Science, teaching was up there as an option because there wasn't too much else on offer. But now the sector is booming and offering such interesting careers, as you mentioned, with ag technician and data analysis and all sorts of things, quality assurance, biosecurity. There's just so many interesting careers. And teaching is actually dropping off the list. And that's why I think we're not recruiting as well as we should.
It's interesting you mentioned those two events. We do what we can. And certainly the Urbray one, and your point that you made about opening up parents' eyes, I think is a critical comment, because whilst it might not be something that's considered traditional to them, great opportunities for their kids going forward.
Absolutely. The opportunities for working in regional areas as well as metro are really unlimited. And if one thing we've learned out of COVID is that we don't all have to live in the city to be able to do some pretty interesting work. We've learned how to do it at a distance, I suppose. And so I think that's making it more possible for people to combine their desire to have a higher level kind of career in agriculture, but perhaps still retain their links with a regional area as well. We really would love the university to be actively recruiting people and letting them know some of the career pathways that are open to their graduates. We know some schools interstate are offering ag as a straight science, so not as a practical subject, but as one of the sciences that's sitting alongside physics and chemistry. And recently that one of the Prime Minister's Science Award winners, Science Teacher of the Year Award winners, is an ag teacher in Sydney at a very prestigious private school. And they have no facilities. I've spoken to them. I think they grow a few pots of plants on a rooftop. They don't have any practical facilities, but they are developing students that are going to move into that higher end research kind of field. And I would really love to see that pathway strengthened in South Australia as well. I think we do the practical training and leading into the vocational stream of agriculture really effectively. And we have some fantastic operators in that space in South Australia, but I would also like to see it strengthened in the other pathway of a more academic and heading into research kind of pathway, because we definitely need that as well. You've got to have the whole spectrum of areas covered. I had a student a couple of years ago who graduated and wanted to do a combination of ag and business. So she's headed to the University of New England to do that. And, you know, it's just such a fantastic combination. And she will have many choices open to her as a result of that. And that's really not a pathway that's very well supported in South Australia.
It's sounding like we've got a fair bit of work to do. But
yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I am buoyed by the fact that we've got people like you that are pushing the agenda. Obvious question, Sue. Just to be clear, this matters to every farmer because
we need the next generation of people coming through. We need people with innovative thinking and a problem solving headset, no matter which part of agriculture that they're working in. And if we can spark that fire in them at school, we're going to set them on a pathway that can take them and the industry into all sorts of interesting places. And, you know, we know that farmers and people working in agriculture are innovators. And I think we can contribute massively to solving problems like climate change. I'm pretty offended when people like our Prime Minister say that we can't sign up to climate agreements because of our agricultural programs. That's just ridiculous, because farmers are the reason why we need to solve that issue. And farmers are fantastic at solving problems. And if we could put some money behind some solid science to support farmers and ag practitioners in doing a better job as far as emissions and things like that, then we really could make huge differences. And people are very willing, farmers are very willing to get on board with technology. You would know that through your own business. And so I think that some of our politicians sell us a bit short when they make it sound like we're the ones dragging the chain, and we definitely are not. And I think if they could harness that willingness and that expertise, we really could make a huge difference on a global level.
Yeah, and another interesting point you've raised lots of them today. One thing that the industry has never been is backward. If you go back over history, it's something the ag industry has been massive at. New technology, how can we do this better? How can we do it more efficiently? How can we do it more environmentally friendly? You know, all those things, you know, all the things we hear about, we tick those boxes.
I think a lot aligned with that, though, is that we aren't very good at telling our story, though. And we're too busy, farmers are too busy doing their thing, and the businesses that support them are too busy doing their thing to promote that fact. And so many of our consumers just don't hear anything about what we're doing. And when I talk to people about some of the uses of technology in agriculture, they're absolutely shocked. And just to give you an example, at the start of the year, I was doing some curriculum writing for the education department and working with the science team as well. And they said, could you give us some examples of how space technology is involved in agriculture? Mm. And I was, can I?
So yeah. How long have you got?
I gave them 3 pages worth of notes on that particular topic, and they had no idea. And, you know, they're practicing science teachers. They're up with the developments in science, but not in how that's playing out in an agricultural space. And they were really quite shocked at some of the clever ideas and the day-to-day use of things like drones and things like, you know, GPS technology is just old hat now for farmers. That's so old hat that it doesn't even get a mention when we talk agri-tech, really. But the message is just not out there that that's the case.
You know, I think that's all part of the discussion today about making sure that the non-ag people are better educated about what the ag community is and the opportunities within it.
Absolutely. Yes, for sure. I think schools can definitely play a really important role in that, but we need a bit of support from higher up the chain as well.
And we're going to make that our make that our challenge, Sue. We're going to make sure that we do, as I said a couple of times, we're going to do what we can to make sure that we get higher up the chain and we get some support and action that we need.
I'll give you a little plug back for Ramsay Brothers with the award that you guys have sponsored this year for our ag students at year 12. That's a new program that's been introduced this year. And it's just fantastic to have a company that's willing to put their money where their mouth is too, but to let our kids know that their work is valued is really important.
Absolutely. And look, for us, you know, when we talked about it, it was a no-brainer, Sue. We're excited about it continuing. And, you know, I think if we can get a few more people involved with sponsoring things like that.
Mm, absolutely. No, it's definitely much appreciated.
Sue, thank you so much for joining us today. Obviously, we've covered a fair bit, and I still feel there's a lot to talk about. Huge congratulations, like we said at the start of the show, for your award. Something you should be super proud of. Your passion comes through loud and clear. And I think we're lucky from an education perspective to have people with your passion in the industry. So I really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Now, it's been my pleasure. Thanks very much, Tim.
So it's a farewell to Sue, but no doubt we'll make contact and we'll further this discussion in some episodes coming up. If you're liking Ramsay Radio, remember to subscribe to the show on your favourite podcast app where you can rate and share all of our other episodes. I'm Tim Glover. I'll be back with another Ramsay Radio episode soon. In the meantime, look after each other and stay safe.
You've been listening to Ramsay Radio, brought to you by Ramsay Brothers. Find this and all our podcasts on your preferred podcast app or on our website at ramseybros.com.au.